Hello and good evening. I'm Lissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin.
Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Now, over the past year and a half, there's been far more recognition and awareness about the importance of mental health issues. But when it comes to people who suffer from a combination of addiction and mental health disorders, is Malaysia equipped to help them adequately? Dr. Anne Yee is a psychiatrist and addiction medicine specialist at the Department of Psychological Medicine with the University of Malaya Centre of Addiction Sciences. She joins us on the show now. Dr. Anne, can we begin our conversation tonight looking at the issue of dual diagnosis, which, if I understand correctly, is when someone has mental illness as well as a substance use disorder simultaneously. And I'm just wondering about the importance of recognizing and understanding dual diagnosis in treating both mental health illness and substance abuse disorders.
You're absolutely right. So when a person has both substance abuse problems and a mental health issue, such as depression, bipolar disorders, or anxiety, it is called a co-occurring disorders or dual diagnosis. So it is important to recognize it because, right, we all know that dealing with substance use disorder is already not easy, and it will be even more difficult, right, when a person also struggling with mental health problems. The both conditions have the ability to get in the way of a person's ability to function normally at school or at work, maintains a stable home life, handling life difficulties, and relates to others. So to make the situation even more complicated, the co-occurring disorders also affect each other. That means when a mental health problem goes untreated, the substance abuse problem usually gets worse. And when drug use disorders increases, mental health problems usually increase too.
And how prevalent is this, especially when you look at, any kind of cohort, right? So if you're looking at people with substance abuse, what are the chances that they also have a mental health issue and vice versa? Some people, you're looking at a cohort of people with, mental health issues. How many of them seek substances to kind of deal with cope as a coping mechanism?
Yeah, that's right. Of course, different substances have different prevalence. Of all people diagnosed as a mental ill, one third of them, that means one in three of them or one in four of them, will abuse drugs or alcohol. And the one third of alcohol abusers will have at least one serious mental illness. Usually it's a mood disorder, depression, bipolar, and anxiety. Certain drugs use disorders, is up to 50% that they may have at least one serious mental illness. So we are talking about what kind of substance they are using.
Is there a difference between understanding when it comes to diagnosis to the understanding which comes first, whether it is the mental health disorder that underlies the substance abuse disorder, or is it the addiction that fuels the mental health disorder?
Yeah, either of these can actually develop first. So as a mentally ill individual, so they turn to drugs to self-medicate. People will often use drugs or alcohol in order to relieve the symptoms of an undiagnosed mental disorder, to cope with difficult emotions, or to temporarily change their mood. Unfortunately, self-medicating with drugs or alcohol causes more side effects, and in the long run, often worsen the symptoms they initially helped to relieve. Or drugs users may develop mental illness as a result of the drug addiction. So, we understand that mental health problems are caused by a complex interplay of genetic, environment, and other factors. So it is actually difficult, right, to say that, right, abusing certain drugs ever directly cause them. But from previous studies, we already know that if a person already at the risk of a mental health issue, abusing drugs of alcohol, right, may just put that person over the edge. I give you the example, right? Data has shown that heavy cannabis users have been linked to an increased risk for developing schizophrenia or like have earlier onset of the schizophrenia. Besides that, right, substance use also can increase the symptoms of a mental illness or even trigger the new symptoms. For example, right, people who abuse methamphetamine, we call ICE, when they are having the withdrawal symptoms, is usually the symptoms will be depression or anxiety. So it actually is, right, increase the symptoms of a mood illness. And
if I could ask you very quickly, right? Sorry, and it's fascinating what you kind of the complexity of what you're just trying to describe. I want to ask you, well, within our medical system, and also within the system in which, say, people with drug abuse issues get caught up in, is there a capacity to identify precisely what is going on with them? Do we have enough mental health experts to identify whether somebody is actually having this dual condition, as it were?
Okay, right. In Malaysia, right, we only got 410 psychiatrists. This is 2018 data. Right? Up to now, I don't think it has much changes. So, yes, it is, right. We probably do not have enough, health experts, right, to actually adequately to diagnose this, right, the dual diagnosis. However, right, that's why, right, we wanted to educate the community to try to recognize the dual diagnosis so that they can actually, right, know when to seek for help. Of course, the best treatment, right, to treat for dual diagnosis is an integrated approach whereby, right, the substance abuse problems and the mental disorders are treated together.
Right. That's an interesting point, and I think we'll delve deeper into that throughout the show. But thank you so much for joining us on the show tonight. Psychiatrist and addiction medicine specialist Dr. Ann Yi there. We're going to take a quick break here on Consider This, but we will be back with more on this topic. So don't go anywhere. Stay tuned. Hi, you're watching Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. With me is Sharad Kutan. If you've just joined us, we're discussing dual diagnosis and the need to address both the substance abuse disorder and the mental health disorder in response to addiction. Joining us on the show now is Palani Narayanan, who is the Senior Advisor on Drug Use and Harm Reduction at the Global Fund. Palani, let's talk about the importance of dual diagnosis, which adds this layer of complexity, not just to the assessment and diagnosis, but also to the treatment and the recovery from substance abuse. Can we talk about what the current practice in Malaysia is? I mean, what has been the kind of dominant practice when it comes to dealing with treatment of substance abuse? Do we adopt the dual diagnosis approach?
Right. Thank you so much, both Melissa and Sharad, for taking on this subject, which has very long been neglected. You know, substance use can be a trigger to mental health, and mental health can be a really big risk factor to substance use for a lot of people. You know, in the international research, it shows that 60 to 80% of people have dual diagnosis. The first thing that we have to recognize is that people use drugs or substances because the substances give something back to people in return, whether it's pleasure, whether it's dealing with their social anxiety, whether it's PTSD, a post-traumatic stress disorder, or whether it's depression and bipolar. You know, people use these substances to deal with some of these severe issues that they face. So there's a lot of self-medication that happens among substance users. You know, very often people self-medicate also because they can't find mental health support. They can't find the professionals. They don't know where the services which are available. And because there is just such huge stigma attached to mental health, you know, people are seen as crazy people or someone who's just lost it. Or if they are already using substance, they're just seen as drug addicts. And therefore, you know, they don't need mental health support. They just need to be put away in a incarcerated setting. So when we're dealing with this substance abuse, you know, we have had 40, 50 years of war on drugs that has focused all our attention, all our money on law enforcement, border control, and incarceration. Almost no money, or very little, has gone into truly understanding why an individual will use a substance, or what are the circumstances or the mental health issues that need someone to go and self-medicate or use drugs. And you see that. You see that on the police. Sorry, Sharat, were you going to say something?
Yeah, no, I want to follow up on that because you're very right. It seems that there's been a disproportionate focus on the law and order dimension. And it comes, I think, as you suggest, from a way of looking at drug addiction. So it's criminality, it's moral failure. This is why there's a policy orientation of that sort. But I want to ask you this, in terms of what you are seeing on the ground, what could possibly change? Because I think we're all interested in practical ways of moving this conversation forward. Where do you see that happening? What could happen?
So, Sharad, you've known the work that we do. We've done at ICLA Center and Pink Triangle Foundation in the early 90s. You know, we see how people who use substances are constantly coming in contact with law enforcement officers. Police officers at street level will arrest and lock up people in police lockups and prisons. But substance users go into this lockup and then they go into cold turkey withdrawals, which you know is extremely heavy on the body. But also during this cold turkey treatment, their mental health flares up. They're anxious, they're fearful, people are depressed and paranoid. And yet no one is there to attend to any of this. The only response that a person who uses substance and put in police lockup gets, or, you know, in prison gets, is that, he's an addict, he just wants drugs. So we need to make medically assisted drug withdrawals, detoxification, available in police custodial settings, in prisons. We need to ensure that at least a nurse or a trained counselor or even a peer counselor is around to assess the person's need, mental health need, you know, when they are put into that. So we need to train not just counselors in health departments, but also police departments, law enforcement departments. Dual diagnosis calls for us to deal with this issue, not just from a medical perspective, not just from a police perspective or law enforcement perspective. It needs an integrated approach between the law enforcement and medical and public health. We need to bring them together. That's what's missing, and that's what's really hard to develop.
Mm-hmm. Right. Palani, can I just ask you, I mean, you mentioned a bit earlier, I mean, it's been decades of the war on drugs, but I'm just wondering about dual diagnosis. Is this a relatively new approach? And is this one that Malaysia, is this a conversation that's happening within policymakers in Malaysia, among policymakers in Malaysia?
No, this is not something new at all. You know, what we have is 40 years of brainwashing to say that because of the war on drugs, to say that if somebody in your family has a substance use problem, give them to us. Only we at the law enforcement, at the police, at the attorney, know how to deal with them. You, as family members, don't have the skills to deal with them. So as a result, families give up on their family members, on their brothers, on their sisters, on their children. You know, and the substance users are taken to mandatory drug treatment or prisons where there is no or very little support for mental health care or dealing with the reasons why they are using drugs. We need to change this 40 years of brainwashing that is done through war on drugs. We need to seriously look at it from a public health perspective. But don't also forget that, you know, sorry, go ahead.
Please continue.
Yeah. No, we also can't forget that, you know, the substance use disorders come from people who go through extreme situations like PTSD, women who have gone through rape or sexual violence or emotional violence from their partners. You know, people who stay at home and have nowhere else and nothing else to seek or help to seek, that they resort to not just drugs, but also alcohol, which is one of the most commonly used substance to self-medicate depression, emotional violence, and post-traumatic stress syndrome. A lot of what we look at when we look at substance use is about men, it's about the stereotypical drug addict, as we call them, who are on the street. But don't forget that there are many women, many young people who go through this mental health issue and have no avenues to seek support and therefore self-medicate. We need to look at these things also more seriously.
Thank you so much for bringing these issues to our attention tonight, Palani. Appreciate your time. Palani Narayan and they're from the Global Fund. Let's take another quick break. More in just a couple of minutes. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Consider This. I'm Lisa Idris. With me, Sharad Kutan. We're continuing our discussion about better responses to addiction and substance abuse disorders. Joining us now, we have Ramli Abdul Samad, President of Persatuan Pengasih Malaysia. Ramli, we're talking about dual diagnosis in the first half of the show, and I'm just wondering whether you see many people who come through Pengasih's doors having mental illness along with a substance abuse addiction?
Yeah, every day we are seeing more and more people coming with dual diagnosis. And more than 70% are below the age of 30s. This is due to the take of methamphetamine. And the trend of drug use have shifted in Malaysia. Drug used to be taken in the 70s and 80s, more for recreational purpose. But now that these are being frequently used for performance, and they do for work, they do for study, they do for to undertake a certain long hour of work. For instance, long-distance drivers, and also more frequent now in the professional. Medical doctors.
Yeah. We have three medical
have
doctors.
Have we lost from
Pardon?
Sorry, Ramli, please continue.
Okay, now we have three medical doctors that came in voluntarily. They took a sabbatical leave, and two are fortunately, they are specialist doctors. And partly it's due to for them to cope with the work pressure that they're undergoing through, especially during this COVID epidemic. And we are seeing more and more people during this PKP getting into rehab because they lost their job, because they also are undergoing tremendous pressure being locked down at home. And I see that it's getting more and more severe. Out of that 70%, I would say 20% are also undergoing not only drug-induced psychosis, they have bipolar and schizophrenia, and some are, I would say, undergoing a severe mental issues. And we are seeing more and more have prolonged medication. And for the last...
Ramli, sorry, if I can interrupt you. Ramli, you know, more than 2 years ago, we had a conversation about Pangase and the work that Pangase does. And we were talking about decriminalizing drug abuse as a way of strategy of recognizing the health or mental health issues involved in, you know, in those who are caught as drug users. What is the status today with regard to that? I mean, is there still a need to talk about decriminalizing drug use? Is there a need to talk about how much government gives to groups like Pangase to deal with the aftermath of imprisonment and such?
Yeah, there has been talk, but there's not much action. We have been talking about this, and we have seen many lives that have to undergo the vicious cycle of addiction. When they are incarcerated, they will be disconnected and put into detention. And upon discharge, they found it difficulty to assimilate back into with society, and especially having a criminal record that they carry after this incarceration. And we're looking positively and hoping very much under the 12th National Plan, which was mentioned again by the current Prime Minister, that they want to categorize people who use drugs not as criminal but as sick people.
Can I ask you to elaborate on that specifically? What can the government do to adequately help people with patients of double diagnosis, particularly when it comes to legal reform and policy making and also funding? What would you like to see and how can the government help?
Legally, I think first and foremost, we need to review. I would say we need to refresh our outdated legal system with regard to drugs. We are still, mind you, we are still using 1952. Law, and under the amended treatment and rehabilitation is still 1983 law. And thus, by changing the law, by categorizing these people as sick people, and then only due treatment should be given. As like many developed countries and also our neighboring countries, they are seeing this issue or they are seeing this problem as a public health issue, not as a criminal issue. But we are still putting this as a national security issue. So our effort, our approach to this issue are still very harsh, and we are not seeing results, not that even after 1983, when we declared a war against Iraq, and we are failing against this. And we can be doing the same thing and expecting a different result. So as NGO, we hope government will seriously look into this, and more and more civil society organizations be given the opportunity, because it's proven that the treatment and rehabilitation done by civil society and treatment and rehabilitation in the community has proven to be much, much more effective, not only in terms of service delivery, but also in terms of its impact. And it's time for us to change.
Thank you so much for speaking with us tonight. We appreciate your time and your good work. Thank you. That was Ramli Abdul Samad of Persatuan Pengasih Malaysia wrapping up this episode of Consider This. A reminder before we leave you tonight that you can get the latest information on COVID-19 vaccines at astroawani.com as well as the Astro Awani app. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan, signing off for the evening.
Thank you so much for watching. Good night.